This is the story of how I persuaded the priggish Peter Piper to pretend he was the author of a best-selling smutfest called Pause, O Men for the Virgin. Then Baby Hutchmeyer staged her own mini-revolution and set her publisher husband's mansion ablaze, kidnapping Piper and leaving the world to think they were both dead.
My house! Oh, my beautiful house!
The Great Pursuit, Chapter 3. Proposals.
Oh, Mr. Hutchmeyer, please keep back.
Huh? In Maine, Hutch and Sonia return from their trip on the yacht to find the house on fire.
Who the hell are you?
Agent Greensleeves, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
FBI?
Yes, ma'am. You were on the boat with Mr. Hutchmeyer when the explosion occurred.
Yeah, but...
We just went out for a little sail.
Uh-huh. The fire marshal found these items in the rubble. You think you could identify them for us?
Yeah. Yeah, that's baby's mink coat. Oh, she was crazy about that mink coat.
They also found these.
Peter's ledgers. He never goes anywhere without his ledgers.
And a British passport for one Mr. Peter Piper. Looks like anyone who was inside the house didn't make it.
Oh, no, poor Peter.
Poor Peter? Never mind poor Peter. What about my poor house?
This is the same Peter Piper that caused a riot at JFK Airport earlier today.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a riot, per se.
Jihadis, pro-lifers, neo-Nazis. Seems this Piper guy was the target of an attack, and they were both taken out by the blast. We can't find a trace of their bodies.
But I don't believe this. You're saying this could be terrorists?
We're not ruling anything in or out at this point, man.
Huh? Nah, that can't be right. I mean, the guy wrote 30 books. And besides, that riot at the airport was all...
Was all what?
Nothing.
Unless they got the wrong guy.
The wrong guy? Well, who the hell would they be after if they weren't... Oh.
That's right. Know anyone living at this address with connections to the New York Mafia?
I want my lawyer.
That night, in Glasswalk, Hampstead, I'd gone to bed contented after celebrating the rave reviews for Pause, when...
Hello?
Frenzy?
Sonia?
Oh, Frenzy.
It's 3 a.m.
Something terrible's happened.
Well, can't it wait till tomorrow?
Peter's dead.
So, Peter? Peter who?
Peter Piper!
But Piper's dead? Are you sure?
Freddy, I feel terrible. If I hadn't dragged him to the States, none of this would have happened. And now he's dead, and it's all because of me.
Oh, God. Sonia, take a deep breath, dear. Tell me what happened.
The house blew up. Yeah. The FBI think it might have been terrorists.
Sorry, it was a bad line. I thought you said that terrorists...
Yes, because of the riot.
What, riot? Just a minute.
You see, Hutchmeyer wanted to boost publicity for the book. So we staged a demo at the airport. It was horrible. People were shouting that Peter killed babies, and then someone threw a frisbee at his head. And then McMorty poured blood all over him and bandaged his head, but it didn't hit his head. It hit his finger.
I think I'm a little out of my depth here.
And then the house blew up, and now they're searching the ashes for the body.
Well, look, on the plus side, the book got terribly good reviews.
The plus side? Are you completely heartless?
No, I was just trying to lighten the mood.
I knew trusting that clown was a mistake. He couldn't write to save his life, and now he'd gone and got himself assassinated. I was just thankful the money was still in the bank. If the FB Bloody Eye investigated his death, they'd soon find out he didn't actually write Pause, and that meant so would Hutch, and he'd demand his money back.
You know who I blame? I blame the real author of that stupid book. If it wasn't for his insistence on anonymity, Peter would be alive today. Yes, he would.
Sonia had a point. Who was this mysterious author hiding from the world? Certainly, I didn't intend to allow Frenzik and Futtle to take the fall for another wayward author. It was at that moment I determined to discover the identity of the true author of Pause, O Men for the Virgin.
This has been a double tragedy for me. I have lost the most wonderful, warm-hearted wife. A woman of natural beauty who gave me nearly 40 years of wedded bliss. Peter Piper was a young novelist of depth and wit, whose passing will be a great loss to the world of letters. At least we can be thankful that he left the world a great work in the form of Pause, O Men for the Virgin. Published by Hutchmeyer Press and available in all good bookstores, press 1999.
You big, fat, phony, Hutch. Peter! I made you some eggs.
Are you sure we're safe here?
Yeah, the Vanderhoogens are on a tour of Europe.
Still, we have broken into their home.
They gave me the spare keys in case of emergencies. What's this if it's not an emergency?
I don't feel right being so close to Mr. Hutchmeyer's house.
There is no house anymore. It's ashes. And Hutch is in New York. Didn't you hear him on the radio announcing our deaths and pretending to sob?
Yes. That was an extremely peculiar experience.
Oh, lighten up.
Lighten up? Now look here, you don't seem to understand. I've lost my identity. I've lost all my work. I've lost my passport. How am I going to get back to England? You've landed me in the most ghastly mess.
No, Peter. I have freed you from the chains of your past, is what I've done. You can be anyone you want to be.
But I don't want to be anyone. I want to be me, Peter Piper. I might as well be dead.
According to the news, you are.
I should go to the police before it's too late.
Not a good idea.
If I tell them everything, tell them it was all a misunderstanding, they'd understand.
Understand? They'd arrest you. Arson, theft, impersonating an author. And when Hutch gets hold of you, he'll gut you like a fish.
Oh, I didn't think of it that way.
Right. It's dual destiny for us, honey. We're tied to each other forever.
What's that?
Cops! Stay out of sight!
I told you they'd find us!
Be quiet!
We'll get years for this. I'll have to wear one of those boiler suits. I look dreadful in orange.
Peter, shut up! They've gone. That was close.
I'm afraid I may have wet myself.
I stormed into Cadwaladin's office with the news. It didn't take long before the lawyer was wiping the sweat from his brow.
Dead? Did you say dead?
And not just dead. Murdered. Assassinated. By terrorists.
Oh, goodness. That's most unfortunate.
Quite. So, you'd better tell your client he'll have to wait for his American advance. If the police find out Piper didn't write pause, Hutchmeyer will start screaming blue murder, and we'd better be ready to pay back every last penny.
Oh, I quite agree.
Well, in that case, if you would kindly hand over the name and address of your client, I will convey the news to him myself.
There's really no need for that.
Now, you listen to me, Cadwaladin. Piper is dead. A young life squashed in its prime, and all because of this book and your selfish anonymous client. So, you're going to tell me his name, or I'll force it out of you.
Oh. Alabama, here we come! Ooh, ah! Isn't this great, Peter? The wind in our hair, the open highway!
Won't the Vanderhoogens be peeved about you stealing their car?
The deep south, it's perfect! Somewhere they don't ask no questions of strangers. Somewhere Hutch wouldn't look for us in a million years. Oh, we're free, Peter. Free from Hutch. Free from the past. Free from ourselves. You can be anything you want to be. Do anything you want to do.
I'd quite like to eat. What am I going to do with my life now? The only thing I know is writing.
So write.
About what? All I've ever written about is growing up in Finchley.
I keep telling you, that guy is dead.
Would you stop saying that?
You're a writer. You invent characters, don't you?
Well, yes, but I...
So invent one for yourself. People do it all the time.
Listen, I'm not in a book. I can't rub everything out and start again. I'm a human being. I'm Peter Piper.
Keep your voice down. You want to get us arrested?
Sorry.
The truth is, I don't know his name.
What?
I always dealt with the author through his bank, care of a Mr. Bygraves. So I never actually met or spoke with the client.
That's right. What about this Bygraves? You must have his number.
Well, yes, I do. But there's a slight snag.
Snag? What snag?
He's dead.
What?
Scaling the sheer face of Kilimanjaro. A heart attack.
Dead?
Yes. seems to be a bit of a theme, doesn't it?
So is that supposed to be funny?
What?
My heart sank.
No, I mean...
The last man connecting the real author of Paws to the outside world had plummeted to his death. It seemed the secret was safe. I turned to leave, dejected and lost.
There is one more thing I can think of.
Yes?
I don't know if it'll be of any help to you.
Go on.
And I must warn you, she's a fearsome beast.
Who is?
You see, the manuscript.
Yes? What about it?
Oh, well, it came to me via a typing agency, the Cynthia Bogdan Typing Service. I have the number here.
Right, Bogdan, you say?
Yes. Cynthia Bogdan.
Okay.
I handled her divorce.
Right, tell me about her.
I'd rather not. The whole episode was extremely traumatic.
For heaven's sake, man, what happened?
She...
Well, yes?
She...
I could write my memoirs.
And what would that entail?
All my experiences.
Like this? This is an experience.
Well, yes.
And the fire? And me opening Hutch's safe and taking his money?
Well, I suppose so. Dr. Luth did say the pursuit of truth in literature is the greatest way for a man to spend his life.
You're always blabbing about this Luth chick. Give it a rest, will you?
She was my tutor and a great influence on me.
Well, she sounds like a sterile old prune. Now, you listen to me. I'm your tutor now. And here's lesson number one. You write the truth about what happened, and I'll break your scrawny little neck. Got it?
She attempted to ravish me.
I beg your pardon?
Pinned me to this very desk. Tore my shirt to ribbons.
Oh, you're joking.
I still have the bite marks to prove it. Here, I'll show you.
No, it's fine.
The woman even proposed marriage.
What, didn't you tell her to stop?
I was choked with fear. The woman's feral. I still wake at night in a cold sweat.
Suddenly, my appetite for discovering the true author of Paws was waning.
Oh, Mr. Frensick, the horror, the horror.
What puzzles me is who did write Paws, O Men for the Virgin. I bet there's some real good reason for staying undercover.
Embarrassment?
I mean, the book's selling like crazy, and it got great reviews.
It debases literature.
Sure it does, honey. Now, Frensick and Fuddle are the only other people who know about this, right? And they'll want to keep everything just as it is. $20 million and Hutch finds out something fishy's going on.
No! He must never find out.
And it looks like the real author's not going to say anything.
But I still don't see your point.
If everyone thinks Peter Piper wrote Paws, and you want to preserve the good name of Peter Piper...
Yes?
You should rewrite Paws. The way you, Peter Piper, would have written it.
Rewrite Paws?
Sure. Then send the manuscript to Frensick and blackmail him into publishing it. The true version of Paws, O Men for the Virgin. Say you'll tell the press Frensick made you rewrite it with all this sex in it so it would sell.
When he realizes I'm alive, he'll go straight to the police.
Implicate himself in the whole escapade? I don't think so.
What's to stop Frensick producing the real original manuscript and admitting that he had sent me over here as the substitute author?
20 million big ones is what? You stake 20 million on a bluff, you gotta have a good reason.
Such as?
Such as who the real writer is. And don't give me all that baloney about the guy with the terminal arthritis and 12 kitties.
He hasn't?
So we got Frensick willing to risk his reputation as a literary agent for a percentage of 20 million, and an author who goes along with him to preserve his anonymity.
And if Hutch gets wind of all this...
He'll be out for blood.
It might just work. This could clear my name. I could finally get my own work published. Baby, you're a genius!
And after Baby had bought him new ledgers and inks, Piper set to work. He wrote feverishly, in diners, on the road, in motel rooms, a copy of Paws always propped up beside him.
If I just eliminate the age difference so that Gwendolyn is no longer 80 but 28.
And Anthony can be older instead of 18.
30. Then remove those repugnant sex scenes to create a pure love story.
He took the story of Paws and moulded it so that it was truly Piperfied. He shaped it, polished it, sexed it down. It seemed his whole life trying to be other writers had been a preparation for this exercise.
In years to come, academics will compare the two versions and deduce from this earlier draft my original intentions.
Wholesome and dignified intentions.
Exactly. Oh, baby, I've never felt more alive.
In New York, Hutchmeyer was trying to persuade Sonia to come to the joint funeral.
Sonia, dollface, you gotta come to the funeral.
No, it is a cynical promotional stunt and I won't support it.
Elton's singing a number? He wrote it about Jackie Collins, but she's still breathing. He just had to change a few lyrics to make it fit.
They haven't even retrieved the bodies.
The bodies were blown to smithereens! They may never find them. Why worry?
Have you never thought of the obvious, Hutch? There are no bodies. I mean, they always find something.
So what are you saying?
That maybe they're not dead. Maybe they ran away. Maybe they're out there somewhere.
Maybe so.
So? So? Oh, no, wait. Oh, I see it now. You don't care if they're dead or not. You'd actually prefer it if they were.
Sweet cheese.
Dead writers sell more books, is that right?
Well, you can't argue with the figures, Toots. They're through the roof.
I don't believe this.
We got a promotional setup here that could make this book mythical. We could build this Piper guy up into a literary James Dean. It's a goldmine.
And your wife? Baby? What about her?
The feds are off her back. They think the whole thing was a terrible accident. They think she was stealing from me and wanted to set the place on fire to cover her tracks and the whole caboodle went up in flames. Bada bing!
Don't you even care whether she's alive or dead?
Alive? Dead? What's the difference? At least she's not busting my balls.
Oh, you know what? I am through with a lot of you. You and Freddy, all you care about is the bottom line. You don't care about people. You don't care about feelings.
No feelings for you, Sonia. Come on, I thought we got something special going on here.
You know what? You make me sick. I am done with you.
The funeral was broadcast around the globe the same morning a package arrived in my office in Lanyard Lane. It was postmarked Alabama.
Unusual.
It was a letter from Piper.
Dear Mr. Frenzik, I enclosed the true version of Pause, O Men, for the Virgin, as I had originally intended. Kindly send it off for publication and transfer advance royalties, care of First National Bank, account number 47...
I read it over and over three or four times. Were my eyes deceiving me?
Do not go to the police. Love, Peter Piper.
I recognised the handwriting immediately. The overblown curves, the unnecessary squiggles. The little sod was blackmailing me from beyond the grave. There was only one thing for it. I had to find out who'd written that book. Nothing would stand in my way now, not even the terrifying Cynthia Bogdan. The next few days would change me.
Miss Bogdan.
Forever.
Flowers again. That's 3 days in a row.
They're beautiful. He's obviously a man of taste.
Get back to work, girl.
Yes, Miss Bogdan.
Cynthia Bogdan, typing service.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Busy. Who is this?
Let's just say an admirer.
What did you say?
Oh, Cynthia.
Just a moment. Are you the one sending me flowers?
Oh, was that wrong? Are my attentions unwarranted?
If you don't tell me your name this instant, I'm putting the phone down.
Geoffrey.
Geoffrey? I don't know a Geoffrey.
Geoffrey Corkerdale.
Geoffrey Corkerdale.
That's right.
The publisher?
Yes.
The very prestigious publisher?
Oh, we're furiously prestigious.
Oh, how may I help you?
Would you like to have dinner with me tonight?
Oh, well, I'm terribly busy.
The Ivy.
The Ivy?
Yes.
Well, I suppose I could move some things around.
Let's say 7 o'clock. I've booked a secluded little table.
How will I recognise you?
I'll be wearing a white rose.
7 it is.
Till then, my sweet.
In a steamy motel room in Alabama, the urges of another ageing predatory female were stirring. Peter lay on his bed, spent, after finishing his new version of Pause.
A great novelist, you've just got to be the least observant.
How do you mean?
You never look around you. never wonder about the landscape or the people or their hopes and dreams.
Ooh,
and you never ask me about mine. I thought you said what matters in literature is the relationships people have with each other.
That's true.
But here's my question then, Shakespeare. What do you know about relating?
Me?
Well, you gotta write about what you know, and if you gotta write about relating...
Well, we're relating now.
That's what you think.
Well, what we're doing now is a form of social intercourse.
And while we're on the subject of intercourse, how come you never once tried to jump me?
Pardon?
Well, not even tried to feel me up? What's the matter with you?
What?
Well, you asked me. You need experience relating. And I'm going to help you with that.
What are you doing?
I'm hot.
Please, it's the middle of the day.
My favorite time for making love.
Love? Now look here, Mrs. Hutchmeyer. Please.
I aim to, sweet lips. I aim to.
Cynthia Bogdan was bang on time. She was 50 and powerfully built, with pink teeth and purple hair. She was wearing a PVC skirt and a top two sizes too small, and she smelled faintly of feet. But I gritted my teeth, and a couple of stiff gins later, we were both settling into the evening.
I first glimpsed you a year ago in the street. I was so dazzled by your radiance that I followed you to your office.
Ooh, our very own stalker. Yes. How kinky. Yes.
I would have introduced myself, but I was too shy.
Oh, bless.
And plus, I thought you were...
What, married? I was. Yeah. My Bertie left me for some pox-riddled slapper he met down the Dog and Duck.
Man must have been out of his mind to leave such a goddess.
What, seem to have finished my drink?
No, it's okay. I ordered champagne.
Champers? That stuff makes me lose control of myself completely.
Well, we've something, yes, we've something to celebrate, haven't we?
Have we?
Yes, the success of our mutual venture.
Hey, what venture?
Pause, O Men, for the Virgin, of course.
Oh, that. Oh, it's very saucy, I must say.
Well, we don't usually publish such a book. Ours is a reputable publishing house, you know.
Oh, I know.
You must have worked very closely with the author while you were typing it.
I never met him.
What?
Oh, look! The bubbly's here.
You never met him. This.
Now, I got the manuscript via the bank. Some bloke called Bygraves.
Well, there must have been times when you needed to speak to him. You know, amendments, queries.
Eh? Oh, well, yes, I'd just phone up and ask, wouldn't I, silly?
So you'd phone the author, but you actually spoke with him?
Listen, why don't you come back to my place after? I can make you a nightcap.
Are you sure? I wouldn't be imposing upon you.
No. I'd like it.
As soon as we got back to Cynthia's house, she shoved me into her bedroom and promptly stripped. She stood before me, a mountain of flesh, dripping with desperation.
Oh, Cynthia, I've waited so long for this.
Oh, Geoffrey, take me.
Oh, the things we do in the name of literature. I shut my eyes and held Cynthia's big face in my hands. The odour of stale cooking sherry hung about her pouted vermilion lips as I slipped my tongue into her gaping mouth. Then, without warning, my body was flung onto the bed and I blanked out for a moment. Across the Atlantic, Baby's attempt to give Piper the experience he needed relationship-wise had succeeded too well. Peter had been making up for his years of celibacy all afternoon as he threw himself into lovemaking with gay abandon, gripping Baby's degreased thighs and sucking on her reinforced breasts. Piper experienced an ecstasy he had never previously known.
Yes! 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 Oh! Baby!
The problem was that Baby didn't feel the same. She had longed for this moment ever since she saw Piper's picture on the back of the book cover, but now she was barely present, staring up at the damp ceiling of the motel and wondering what she would do with her life now.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, really lovely.
Back in London, I awoke from my brief coma to the sight of Cynthia's pink, glistening body bouncing up and down on top of me. I tried to look anywhere but her furry, red face as it contorted with pleasure and took a moment to look around the room. Everything was puce, puce curtains, puce wallpaper, puce lampshade. Finally, I was puce. Unable to breathe and certain a couple of ribs had cracked, I moaned.
Satisfied.
Fearing for my life, I nodded frantically.
Yes, fine, thanks.
In the shower, I tried to scrape off the fetid residue of last night's pornographic obstacle course. The woman had pummeled her way to orgasm and left me a broken man. Still, anything to get that phone number.
I'm making bacon and eggs!
The number. I had to think quickly.
My husband loved his bacon and eggs of a morning. He wasn't much to look at, Bertie, but I do miss having a man about the house. Someone to share my day with, my thoughts, my little secrets.
It was that comment which gave me the idea.
Cynthia, my sweet, I feel we made a really deep connection last night. And, well, look, we're neither of us getting any younger, so I was wondering, Cynthia Bogdan, will you marry me?
Oh, Geoffrey. Yes!
I'm suffocating, I can't breathe.
In a Bond Street jeweller's, Cynthia oohed and aahed.
Pick a ring, my love.
Such a lovely selection.
I had to get her to give me that phone number somehow. The idea was to use the number as a secret love code to be engraved on the inside of her engagement ring.
What about this one?
Oh, it's very plain.
All right, well, this one then.
Oh, are you sure? It's awfully dear.
Not as dear as you, my sweet.
Oh, Geoffrey, all right.
Right, now, our secret number.
What, now?
Yes, let's get it carved straight away. Why wait?
Cynthia told the jeweller the number, and I quickly scribbled an enormous cheque. I could always phone the bank and get it stopped later. The main thing was that I needed to find a payphone quickly.
Where are you going, Geoffrey?
What? No, just remembered, I have a terribly important phone call. Won't be a tick.
Oh. Repeating the number over and over in my head, I ran to the nearest payphone and dialed. My palms started sweating, my breath shortened. Finally, I was about to discover the true author of Pause, O Men, for the Virgin.
The Great Pursuit by Tom Sharp was dramatised for radio by Ryan Craig. Forensic was played by Mark Heap, Peter Piper by Adam Godley, Hutchmire by John Garasio, and Baby by Sandra Dickinson. Sonia was Laurel Lefko, Cynthia Bogdan, Susan Jameson, and Cadwalladine, Hugh Dixon. Other parts were played by Kerry Shale and Alex Tregear. The director was Toby Swift.